Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, everybody. Happy Sunday, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Greider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight's topic, joining the organization of the local church is not the same thing as being placed into the organism of the body of Christ. A shorter title would be, The Local Church versus the Body of Christ. We live in a day and age where, because the vast majority of so-called Christians are not studying their Bibles, that a great spiritual illiteracy has risen up over the land, and we say things without thinking, never realizing that our words are not actually connected to the thing that we're talking about. For example, talk to just about any Christian and ask them where you could find the body of Christ. The majority would invariably answer, at church. But is that true? Is the local church the body of Christ? Not according to the Bible. The local church is a brick-and-mortar organization, but the body of Christ is an organism as part of a spiritual kingdom. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, your King James Bible has a lot to say about the body of Christ, a mystery revealed to the Apostle Paul, and it's made up of 100% born-again believers who have trusted Jesus Christ and Him alone for their salvation. There is no rosaries, there's no confessionals, there's no purgatory, there's no sacraments. Jesus Christ and Him alone. But take a look at the local church. You have Southern Baptist, Hardshell Baptist, Regular Baptist, Methodist, Anglican, Roman Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Mormons, Freemasons, weekly attendees of NFL football games, and a couple of hundred more organizations. Is that mess the body of Christ? No. So just what are the differences and similarities between the called-out assembly of the local church and the body of Christ? On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we crack open our King James Bibles to see what Scripture has to say about it. And as you will soon see, it is quite the eye-opener. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy. Thank You for waking us up today. Thank You, Father God, for putting food on the table, clothes on our back, and a roof over our head. And Lord, we just come before You with tonight's Bible study. We ask You to meet with us, Lord. Lead us and guide us into all truth. And we commit this time to You. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Glad that you are here today. We have a lot to talk about. We are going to do in the last half hour, we're going to do some question and answer. And already some of the questions have started coming in. But if you have a Bible question, tonight's the night. Well, you know, we answer Bible questions on every program. But the last half hour tonight, we will do question and answer. Glad you're here tonight. Glad I'm here tonight.
Are you past the point of weary? Is your burden weighing heavy? Is it all too much to carry? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Do you feel that empty feeling? 'Cause shame's done all it's stealing, and you're desperate for some healing. Let me tell you about my Jesus. He makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that He can save. Let me tell you about for you, what He's done for me. Let me tell you about pay the price for all my guilty. Who would care that much about me? Let me tell you about my Jesus. Oh, he makes a way where there ain't no way. Rises up from an empty grave. Ain't no sinner that he can save. Let me tell you about my Jesus. With his love is strong and his grace is true. And the good news is I know that he can do for you what he's done for me. Let me tell you about my Jesus. And let my Jesus change your life. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 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 Let my Jesus change your life.
Of my hands, I couldn't pray my best prayer through my circumstance.
Oh, but on his name I kept on calling, the narrow path I kept on walking.
I tried to sing a happy song.
Oh, and when it looked like hope was gone, that's when God's love made me strong. Oh, I came through another battle.
The joy in my life. You see, he fails to remember the Savior's blood. It makes me smile.
And the fiery darts he throws my way reminds me I'm still safe. And when it looks like the end, that's when my victory begins. Oh, I came through another battle.
I'll tell you, after 32 years of being saved and walking with the Lord with all types of ups and downs and everything in between, I can say, I can testify that I have come through a couple of battles, and God has seen me through each time and every time. And the Lord is good and greatly to be praised. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting in verse 24. For our comely parts have no need, but God had tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. Write that down, underline that verse. That's 1 Corinthians 12:27, talking to saved, born-again people in the church age. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, having all the gifts of healing, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. I wanted to give you verse 27 in its full context. Tonight we're going to be talking about the differences and similarities between the local church and the body of Christ. A lot of people, there are millions of people who believe that they are part of the body of Christ because they attend a New Testament church. That is not biblical. You do not become part of the body of Christ by joining a church, by attending church, by being a Sunday school worker or a pastor or a preacher. None of those things put you into the body of Christ. The local church is something, in a lot of respects, it is different. It is separate from the body of Christ. Now, you will find members of the body of Christ at local churches. There's no doubt about that. But if you think that because you have church membership that you're part of the body of Christ, that is an unbiblical position to take. And tonight we're going to show you the differences between the local church and some similarities. But the local church is not the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is not the local church. And then in the last half hour, I'm going to be taking your questions. So if you have any Bible questions about what we're talking about, or on any topic of the Bible from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22, just post that question into the chat room, and I'll be happy to take a whack at it. We have a lot to pray about at the bottom of the hour. I have some news and updates about North City Baptist Church. I went there today, and things are happening, and I will tell you all about that at the bottom of the hour. In the meantime, please enjoy the praise music. You know, when I play these songs, and from time to time, my microphone will be on and you'll hear me singing along, sometimes flat, sometimes off key. But I love these songs that we play. I like the new songs. I like the old songs. Any type of song that glorifies Jesus Christ, I like it. And I sing along with it. And my singing is certainly not the best, but I believe that it makes a pleasing sound to the Lord. And I encourage each and every one of you. We are a radio church for the most part. And I hope that when these songs are playing, that you're singing them out nice and loud, because we're worshiping Jesus Christ. That's the whole point of these songs. We don't ever play a fleshly song. We don't ever play music that glorifies man. We play music, and I like the old stuff, but there's a lot of good new stuff as well. And I like music that glorifies Jesus Christ and reminds me that I've been bought with a price. And that's a very, very good thing to be reminded of.
steady day to heaven's shore. I'll find sweet rest beyond the gates forevermore. Yes, I'll reach home, oh praise the Lord, some sweet day.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we come before you, Lord. Lord, we're praying for Annetta, that she would have a complete healing after a major stroke, that she could walk again. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs our prayer. A number of women are pregnant and expecting. Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Reagan Gorzel, and Aaron Riddle are on our expecting list, and please keep these women in your prayers, that mother would be fine, baby would come out fine, father would be fine, and that the Lord would be glorified. Steve Wilder would like prayers for his son and son's wife. Her name is Lizette. Their water broke, and she's not due for a few months. I don't have an update on that. Let me just see real quick if there is an update. I don't think so. But I will reach out to Brother Steve and see if we can find out what's happened since last week. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke, and he needs our prayer. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has come back, stage 4, and we're praying for him. Kate needs prayer concerning her housing situation, a possible move, and an unspoken prayer request as well. Mark Saxa would like prayers for his son Joseph to return to the Lord. Charlie Kammerman needs prayer for recovery after hip surgery. Laura Campoy, we're praying for her as she recovers from a motor scooter accident last year. Madison's grandbaby Addie is doing well, and she has been moved out of the ICU. So that is a massive praise for Madison's grandbaby Addie. Clayton Perry has chemotherapy side effects. We're praying for Marcy Long, who's waiting for a report after multiple rounds of chemotherapy for her colon cancer. The LaPiana family has an unspoken prayer request. Craig Arford, he needs prayer for pancreatic cancer. Harmon's son Michael, we are praying for him as well with pancreatic cancer. Barbara Gordon, she would like prayer for her children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and for her walk with the Lord. Chris Hart is asking for prayer for a time-sensitive unspoken. Rapture 57 has a bad case of COVID and needs our prayer. Catherine B., possible heart surgery, and we are keeping her in our prayers. Sada's father had a heart attack last week, and he is in the ICU. He is saved, and we are praying for a full recovery for him. Erin Riddle, she says, my sister Tracy's cancer has spread from her breast to her liver, and please pray for a cure or a remission. Paul Van Badham says, I am Ricky Gouda Van Badham's brother. Please pray for Ricky's daughter, Nortja, and also please pray for me. You remember Nortja had surgery last week. Here's an update. Sarah Riddle's father had a stent placed in his heart with a 99% obstruction. He is doing much better since the procedure. Kathy Kelly, we've been praying for her son, Danny. She told me today he is still sick, but he says he's fine. Still lightheaded and coughing. Wife is sick. Kids are sick. Please pray for healing and recovery. Amen. Amen. We will. Gail needs prayer for a healing in her leg. That's Gail that works at the bookstore. And she has had multiple problems with her hip and her leg. And we're asking the Lord to get in that thing and to do something there. Karen says, please pray for my 94-year-old dad, Jules. He's been in the hospital for a week with severe headaches, double pneumonia, carotid, carotid arteries, and possible mini stroke. I am speaking with him right now about trusting Jesus Christ. So Karen wants us to pray for a healing and for salvation for her 94-year-old dad, Jules. Sarah Riddle says that her and her husband no longer have COVID. I'll take that off the list. And they are feeling great, and we are rejoicing with them. Let's see what we have from the chat room tonight. Cephas says, please pray for my wife, Mandy. She's having surgery on Tuesday. Amen. We certainly will. Regina Danner, Linda is home now, but not completely out of the woods. That's a praise report, but we'll keep her on the list. Regina says, praise report, Sandra is working, no drugs, listening more, hoping she'll turn to the Lord soon. Amen. Trisha said, prayers, I go this week to see if I am eligible for stem cell therapy in the hips. I just can't take any anti-inflammatory, so right now there's a lot of pain, but it will be worth it in the end. And I know that Brother Mike Hensel had huge problems with his leg after an accident. And he told me a number of months ago that stem cell treatment was greatly helping him. So please lift up Trisha in your prayers that the stem cell treatments would do the same for her hips and for her situation as well. Aunt Nancy, please continue to pray for my niece Michelle for salvation and her health issues. She's a nurse and she got jabbed, and she's suffering from a few health problems that have come up. Annabelle, please pray for my brother for healing after receiving the government injection and having health problems. Heavenly Father, God, I'm so glad that you make us a praying people. I'm so glad, Lord, that people want prayer, that they ask for prayer, that we have this prayer list. And we have a short list, we have a long list, and God, it is such a blessing to see people wanting prayer and wanting to pray for other people. And Lord, we pray for everybody on the list tonight that needs a healing, that needs a touch, that needs you to order and reorder whatever it is that they're going through. And Lord, it's a simple prayer, but we just ask you to get inside that thing and do something, Lord, whatever you think is the right thing to do. And Father God, there are people tonight that need a healing, that need a touch from you, that need restoration, that need family problems, relationship problems, finance problems, whatever the problems are. And Lord, we just dump it all in your lap because we can't do it. We don't know how to do it. And if we try, we just mess it up. But Lord, we come boldly before the throne of grace and say, Father, you are worthy, you are able, you are capable. You are the God that is above all gods. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you do. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, hear our prayers tonight. Your word says in Psalm 98:1, O sing unto the Lord a new song, for he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. And Father God, we have that victory in Jesus Christ. And thank you, Lord. And we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please keep me on your prayer list. I'm no longer COVID positive. But if you think of COVID as a college drinking party, well, this is the hangover. And it's not fun, and I don't like it. And I have brain fog, and just keep me on your prayer list, and I would very, very much appreciate that. All right, open your Bibles tonight. We are going to look at the differences between the local church and the body of Christ. They are not the same thing. Let's start in Matthew chapter 16. Let's start in Matthew chapter 16, and let's look at verse, Matthew 16, 17 through 19. Matthew 16, 17 through 19. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, a stone, and upon this rock, he's pointing to himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. This is not for the church age. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And Jesus Christ created the church when he went to the cross. If you want to talk about where did the church begin, well, it began with a payment. It began with Jesus Christ on the cross making a payment for all the people who would be put into the body of Christ. Now, Jesus Christ taught for a 3.5-year period. He had a called out assembly that included 12 disciples who became apostles. One of those disciples was Judas Iscariot. The Bible says, have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Let's start reading verse 66 through 71. John 6, 66. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then said Jesus unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, Have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. So here we see... Here we see in the called out assembly started by Jesus Christ, was every person in that group saved? No, they were not. Judas Iscariot was a devil, and he mocked the Lord, and he was a type of Antichrist, and he went and killed himself. He hung himself on a tree just 12 hours before Jesus Christ would go to the cross to make the actual sacrifice. So the point of what I'm saying is that word, go back to Matthew, Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And upon this rock, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That word church is the Greek word ecclesia. And that does not mean a Christian church. The word ecclesia means a called out assembly of people, a gathering of citizens called from their homes into a public place, an assembly of the people convened at the public place of the council for the purpose of deliberating. An assembly of Christians gathered for worship in a religious meeting. So that word that we have for church is the Greek word ecclesia. And it simply means a called out assembly. There was a church in the Old Testament. Turn to Acts chapter 7. Let's look at verse 38. Turn to Acts chapter 7, verse 38. Let's take a look at the church in the Old Testament. Now, you might say to me, there was no church in the Old Testament. Well, there sure was. Acts 7:38. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers who received the lively oracles to give unto us. Now, who is that talking about? That's talking about Moses getting the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And Luke, writing in the New Testament book of Acts, says that that group that was with Moses, the children of Israel wandering in the desert for 40 years, that was the church in the wilderness. God called them out of Egypt. God assembled them together, and he gave them Moses out as a leader. So there you have in Acts 7:38, you have the church of the Old Testament. Now let's take a look at the church in the New Testament. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, this is still the kingdom age. This is not the church age. But in Acts chapter 2, look down in verse 41 through 47. I want to give you the full context. Acts chapter 2, 41 through 47. This is the day of Pentecost. This is Peter preaching. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together, and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods, and parted them to all men, as every man had need. Verse 46 says, And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Now, in Acts 7, I gave you the church of the Old Testament. I just gave you the church in the New Testament on the day of Pentecost. But the church that we are in right now is not that same church. Something happened in Acts chapter 7. The kingdom age was put on hold. The church age began. Peter sat down. Saul became Paul. And now turn to Acts chapter 11. Turn to Acts chapter 11, and I'll show you the church in the church age. And I'm just trying to keep this really simple, but I think you can see that that word church, the local congregation, is not the same thing as the body of Christ. Acts chapter 11, verses 25 and 26. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Now we have the church that if you're saved, if you're born again, This is the church that you and I are a part of. And in verse 26, we see Paul and Barnabas assembling with that church in Antioch. And for an entire year, they hold Bible studies. They hold camp meetings. They hold Sunday school classes. They do preaching and teaching of the word. And now, these born-again believers who became disciples are now called Christians. Have you ever wondered why they weren't called Christians in Matthew, Mark, and Luke? Have you ever wondered why they weren't called Christians in the Gospel of John? Because being a Christian is something that is unique to the church age. Now, I just gave you three examples of the church: Old Testament church, New Testament church, church age church. And the church age church is the one that you and I are part of. Turn to Romans chapter 16. We're setting the table here. And in the second hour, we're going to go a little bit more deeply into this topic. Romans 16, verse 7. Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles, who also were in Christ before me. Now, here we have an interesting biblical conundrum. How many times have you met people who believe that the mystery... Shannon has a question. Am I saying that those before Paul are not part of the body of Christ? No. I am saying just the opposite. I am saying that the body of Christ existed before Paul. That's what I'm saying. And that's what Romans 16:7 is talking about. The body of Christ was revealed through the Apostle Paul. It was not started with the Apostle Paul. And many, many times I'll come across people and they're very fervent to study the scriptures, but somewhere along the way, they picked up the idea that things did not exist until Paul revealed them. And that's 100% not true. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and let's look at verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And here it is. Here's the gospel for the church age. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Now, you need to understand, Paul is giving you the scriptures. He's giving you the gospel. Three times, Paul says this. He calls it my gospel. Romans 2:16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. And then the third one is 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Now, we rightly divide, we understand dispensations, and we know that the Apostle Paul was given a new gospel for the church age. It was not the same as Matthew, Mark, and Luke. It was not the same as what Peter preached on the day of Pentecost. We know that. And Paul revealed that gospel. But here's the conundrum. Turn to Acts chapter 8. Turn to Acts chapter 8. You know the story of the Ethiopian eunuch. Let's start reading in verse 30, Acts chapter 8, verse 30. And Philip ran thither unto him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, Understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, How can I, except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then they open up Isaiah chapter 53. And then you go all the way down to verse 35. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? Watch it now. And Philip said, If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Turn to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. Romans 10, verses 9 through 11. This is what the Ethiopian eunuch got saved on. Romans 10, 9 through 11. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Now, here's what blows your mind. The Apostle Paul calls it my gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 shows you what that gospel is. However, the Ethiopian eunuch got saved according to the exact same principles that Paul would later write about in Romans chapter 10. New Testament salvation for the church age. That's exactly how the Ethiopian eunuch got saved. He got saved on Romans 10 before Paul wrote Romans 10. So you need to understand that just because something is not revealed does not mean it does not exist. And I come across a lot of people who have been taught wrongly that certain things in the church age did not exist before the Apostle Paul. And that's not true. They did exist. The body of Christ existed while Saul was killing Christians. That's why in Romans 16:7, he said, Salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles who were also in Christ before me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. People were getting saved before Paul wrote Ephesians 2. The Ethiopian eunuch got saved according to what Paul would later write in Romans 10. So just because something is not revealed does not mean it's not there. It does not mean that it's not active and functioning. And with that, we have to take our first break of the night. We will be right back after this. And remember, in the last half an hour, we are going to take your questions on anything about the Bible. So if you have questions, please post them into the chat room, and Jeanette and Lori will grab them for me. We will be right back after this. Amen. We are back for hour two of tonight's Bible study on the local church versus the body of Christ. They are not the same. They have a little bit of overlap, but the local church is not the body of Christ, and the body of Christ is not the local church. Just a reminder, last week when we started this sale at the bookstore, I normally advertise for a full week before the sale starts, because we have people who live in different countries and different time zones, people on vacation and all sorts of things. And I realized that I really didn't give everybody much advance notice that we were going to be having this big, massive sale until basically 2 days before the sale started. So I prayed about it, and the Lord told me to extend the sale for another week. So the bookstore sale does not end tonight. It ends next Sunday night. And yesterday, I took about 2 hours in the morning And I added another 32 items that I really feel will be very beneficial to learning the Bible and getting Bible commentaries and study helps. I have just about all of our Bibles on sale, and some of those Ruckman Bibles, I mean, $25 off on some of those Bibles. So we are extending the sale, and it's going to go for another week. And if you go to BibleBeliever.com, we have 132 items, and the discounts range from 20% all the way up to 50% off. And I urge you to take advantage of this sale. And look, there's no fluff here. Bible commentaries, King James Bibles, hardcore books about learning rightly dividing. So go to BibleBeliever.com and take advantage of this great sale. Also, I have an update. I went to, this is why we didn't have the Sunday service today. I went to North City Baptist Church, and I met with the deacon, and I met with the pastor. And in 2 weeks from today, they have invited me to present the ministry of Now the End Begins. There is going to be a church-wide meeting at North City Baptist Church. And then the members are going to vote on whether or not they want us to rent their church on the days that they are not using it. And they only use the church 2 days out of the month. So please keep that in your prayer. 2 weeks from today, Lord willing, going to meet with the entire congregation, going to present the ministry of Now the End Begins, and the church is going to vote as to whether or not they think that they should rent us the building. Now, I've already settled it with the Lord. If God doesn't want us to have a brick-and-mortar church, I'm fine just the way things are. We have a massive ministry. It's in 142 different countries, and I can hardly keep up with the size that it is now. But I believe that God perhaps is leading us towards a brick-and-mortar church. And those of you that have been there, a bunch of you who came for Nights of Lights, Trisha came with her boys, and a bunch of other people came. I still have the COVID fog, so you'll have to excuse me. COVID fog is real, and my memory is not functioning the way that it normally does. But for those of you that have seen the church, it's just a tiny little Baptist church built in 1886. But I've been praying about, does the Lord want us to have services there? Either way, we're still going to do these broadcasts online. That's never going to change. But keep that in your prayer. Brian is asking, what will happen to our Sunday service if you go to a brick-and-mortar church? Nothing, because we moved our Sunday service from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., and we did that last year. So if we go to a brick-and-mortar church, nothing happens to our online services. They continue exactly the same. We still have the Bible studies on Wednesday and Sunday, and we still have the Sunday service at 1 p.m. So please keep that in your prayers. And look, whatever the Lord wants is fine with me. I just want to be used. I just want to be of service. So thank you for praying about that. All right, let's continue. Let's continue. Let's turn to Colossians. Let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. And let's look down 24 through 29. Colossians chapter 1, 24 through 29. Let's start to put some flesh on these bones. Let's start to see if we can figure out the differences between the local church and the church that Jesus Christ started. Jesus Christ did not start the local church. And Paul shows you that in these verses that we're about to read right now. Colossians chapter 1, 24 through 29. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Now, this may be the most important verse that we're going to have on this topic tonight. Colossians 1:24 shows you that the body of Christ is the church that Jesus started, not the local church. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. We are the body of Christ. Wherefore I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Even the mystery of what? The local, not the local church, the body of Christ. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. So you have the local church. The local church is the First Baptist Church of Brentwood. The local church is the Methodist Church of Allendale. The local church is the First Presbyterian Church of Bakersfield. The Baptist Church. The Catholic Church, that's a church. Seventh-day Adventist, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses. Those are all denominational local churches. Now, in those churches, you will find people who are saved, and you will find people who are lost. You would be surprised if you were to have conversations with different church people. And I'm not talking Roman Catholic Church. I'm talking Methodist, Presbyterian. And if you were to talk with these people and ask them when they became born again, they have no testimony of being born again. Now, if you're not born again, you're not saved. And if you're not saved, you are not part of the body of Christ. And if you are not part of the body of Christ, you are not part of the church. You see how that works? Colossians 1:24. And fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at verses 12 through 14. This is Paul showing you how people get added to the body of Christ, which is the church. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So, you know what Paul just showed you? Paul just showed you how if you want to join the church that Jesus started, if you want to join the body of Christ, this is how it happens. The gospel is preached either through spoken word, through a sermon, through a gospel tract, through a poster, through a billboard, through a Bible that's handed out. And after that gospel is preached, a soul receives the gospel. They hear the message, they read the billboard, they read the tract, they read the Bible. Then that soul, under conviction of the Holy Spirit, believes the gospel. Then that soul believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and receives his payment for their sins that was made in his blood on the cross at Calvary. Then that soul that has received and believed the gospel of the grace of God is now sealed unto the day of redemption. That is how you join the church. You do not join the church by membership. When I first got saved, I couldn't understand why all these Baptist churches had membership. Like you had to sign up and you get a card, you get a letter, and if you wanted to switch churches, you had to have your letter of membership transferred. None of that is in the Bible. And I know, look, I'm a Baptist pastor. I understand. But it's not biblical. There is no such thing as church membership in the Bible. And the reason for that is the church that Jesus Christ started can only be entered into when you become born again. You can't join the church. You have to get saved. And then when you get saved, you are placed into the body of Christ based on what Jesus did on the cross. Remember where we started. Remember that we started in Matthew. Matthew 16:18. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, if you want to join the local church, again, Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Jehovah's Witness, Mormons, Roman Catholic, Seventh-day Adventist, Universal Unitarian, if you want to join the local church, then you go into that establishment, you find out what their membership qualifications are, and if you can meet those qualifications, they will make you a member. That does not mean that you're saved. There are millions and millions of people who are good standing members of the local church, and they are just as lost as a golf ball in high weeds. Tanya has a question. What is the day of redemption? Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. We were just there. Ephesians chapter 1. Tanya wants to know, what's the day of redemption? It's a good question. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed unto the with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The day of redemption is one of two things. It's the day, if you're saved, it is the day that you get raptured and go up into the clouds, or it's the day that you die and go home to be with the Lord, Jesus Christ. Now, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, talking about people who are alive at the time of the rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Let's look at verses 13 through 18. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18. The question is, what is the day of redemption? Well, it is the day that you go to be with Jesus Christ. And there's one of two ways that you get there. You die and go to heaven, Paul says, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Or you live long enough to see the rapture. 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you. So Paul says, do you have a loved one that died before the rapture? Don't worry about that. When the rapture happens, God's going to bring that loved one with him to pick you up. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or go up before them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Paul was not waiting for the rapture. I have heard this next verse taught that Paul was waiting for the rapture. Paul knew he was never going to see the rapture, and he tells you that in 2 Timothy chapter 4. But here in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, then we which are alive and remain, talking about the body of Christ, whoever it is that's still alive when the rapture happens, then we, which are, Paul's not talking about himself. He's talking about the body of Christ. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Heath is asking, do you ever lose your salvation? No, you cannot lose your salvation in the church age, because you are sealed unto the day of redemption. It is a good thing to, if you sin, if you backslide, it is a very, very good thing to keep short accounts with God. But you do not lose your salvation when you sin. Once saved, always saved, and that is Bible doctrine. Sarah just said sealed, and that's why you can't lose your salvation, because you were sealed unto the day of redemption. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, and I'll show you this principle in action. Romans chapter 8. Verses 36 through 30, nope, 35 through 39. Romans chapter 8, 35 through 39. Paul is talking and he says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nope. As it is written, we are, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Somebody told me one time that Christians are not sheep. Well, the Apostle Paul would beg to differ. For thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Verse 37, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now, I want to show you why you can't lose your salvation. Paul says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us, and the us is born again Christians in the body of Christ, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So, when you got saved, you were sealed unto the day of redemption. The day of redemption is the day that a born-again, saved, sealed person goes home to be with Jesus Christ, either through the rapture or through their own death. And the Apostle Paul says that there is nothing that can separate you if you're saved. There is nothing that can separate you from Jesus Christ if you're saved. And that is something that is unique to the church age. And that's why when you read in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, you see people losing their salvation. In Hebrews chapter 6, you see people losing their salvation. Those aren't church age passages. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." You have to understand the difference between the church age and the kingdom age and the kingdom of God. And all the, they are not the same. They are not the same. And with that, we got to take our last break of the night. When we come back, we are going to do a quick little 10-minute wrap-up on the local church versus the body of Christ, and then I'm going to take your questions. So if you have questions, please post them into the chat room. This is The Church.
It's time for us to face the fact that for decades we've ruined our name. Just look around us. It's easy to see that we share the blame. It's on you and me. So blinded by
each of us are hurting, but we have all been called to carry the message to this human race. Our message is love, our anthem is grace. It's time we remembered who we are.
This is the church.
We know no boundaries. There are
Amen, amen. And we are back for the last half hour of tonight's Bible study on the local church versus the body of Christ. And you know, it's funny. I know I'm going to get a lot of emails tomorrow from aggravated people. How can you say that the local church is not the body of Christ? Well, because the Bible clearly shows you, and I think we've made the case over the last hour, that the church that Jesus started is made up 100% of born-again, saved people. Look in John chapter 3. Look in John chapter 3. And look at verse 3 and verse 5. John chapter 3, verses 3 and 5. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 5 says, Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Now turn to Acts chapter 28. I get a lot of pushback from people who say that Paul did not teach that you had to be born again. Yes, he did. He didn't use the expression. Peter used it and John used it. But look in Acts chapter 28, verses 28 through 31. Be it known, therefore, unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. And when he had said these words, the Jews departed and had great reasoning among themselves. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house, and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God, and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ, with all confidence, no man forbidding. In John chapter 3, Jesus says, if you want to go to heaven, if you want to be part of the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, you must be born again. What did Paul preach and what did Paul teach? He preached exactly what Jesus taught in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You must be born again. Now, just because Paul didn't use that expression does not mean he did not teach that. For example, if you look at your Bible, where does the New Testament start? It starts in Matthew chapter 1. And we understand you get to the end of Malachi, and that's the end of the Old Testament. You get to Matthew chapter 1, and that's the start of the New Testament, but not according to the Bible. Look in Hebrews. Look in the book of Hebrews. Give me just 1 second here. I just closed the screen I should have had up. Hebrews chapter 9. No, that's not what I want. Oh, no, that's exactly what I want. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 16 and 17. Hebrews 9, 16 and 17. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead, otherwise it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. So, according to the Bible, where does the New Testament start? It starts with the death of the testator. So, the New Testament does not start in Matthew chapter 1. The New Testament started in Matthew chapter 27, with the death of the testator. So, on this program, we go by what the Bible teaches, and not what people just assume to be true. Now, the last thing that I'll say on this topic before we go into the questions, and we have a bunch of questions already. If you remember last year when I got ordained as a pastor, and I was ordained by Suncoast Baptist Church, Pastor Joel Tillis. And that was a great day, and I was so excited. And it was really one of the highlights of my Christian life. But I have been a pastor with a flock and a congregation for a decade. Last year, I became ordained in a local Baptist church. But from a biblical perspective, I have been a pastor for about a decade now. So I hope that I made it clear and plain the difference between the local church, Baptist, Presbyterian, Anglican, Methodist, Seventh-day Adventist, Roman Catholic, Jehovah's Witness, and the church that Jesus started, which is the body of Christ that you have to become born again to be put into. That is the only church that counts eternally. Now, do I believe that people should be a member of a local congregation? Absolutely. We have been meeting with our Sunday services for almost 3 years now. We're talking and praying about entering into a brick-and-mortar Baptist church in 2 weeks. But I just wanted to show you that the local church is not the body of Christ, and the local church is not the church that Jesus started. The church that Jesus started, he started on the cross. And if you want to become a part of that church, ye must be born again. And that's pretty much the way it goes. All right, let's take some questions. We'll start with an easy one first. Mia from Texas. Are we going to be here when the Jews sign the covenant with Antichrist? No. Turn to Daniel chapter 9. And I'm still coughing a little bit, but it's a whole lot less. So please keep me in your prayer on that. But I think I'm turning the tide. Definitely coughing less tonight. Daniel 9:27. And he, Antichrist, shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week, and in the midst of the week, Matthew 24:14-15, he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease, and for the overspreading of abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation, and that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. That takes place at the start of the time of Jacob's trouble after the rapture. Now, on our podcast last Friday, I talked a whole lot about the Abraham Accords and Netanyahu and Macron. If you haven't heard our podcast from last week, I highly recommend that you go and listen to it. We went into great and graphic detail about the covenant that Antichrist will confirm with the Jewish people, and it is our personal opinion that that covenant is the Abraham Accords. And that covenant is going to be confirmed by Antichrist after we get out of here in the rapture of the church. But no, we will not be here to witness. If you're watching Antichrist confirming the covenant, then you missed the rapture. His grace says, will we know or see the man of sin? Turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the answer is yes. Verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ, the rapture of the church, is at hand. Paul says, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, that's the apostasy, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now, we are not waiting for Antichrist, we are waiting for Jesus Christ, but while we wait, we are keeping a firm eye on who might be the biblical man of sin. And Paul says that that is something that is going to take place. The revealing of the man of sin is the second thing on the checklist before the rapture can take place. And this is why we spend some time and we look to see if we can find anybody like Emmanuel Macron, perhaps, that might fulfill the qualifications of the biblical Antichrist. Tanya says, can you lose the rewards that you have earned? Absolutely you can. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verses 11 through 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. For other foundation can, this is talking about the judgment seat of Christ. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. What day? The judgment seat of Christ. Because it shall be revealed by fire, and that fire shall try every man's work of what sort that it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. And this answers Tanya's question. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. We are sealed unto the day of redemption. We cannot lose our salvation. But you can lose rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Berta, I have your question. Heath is asking, how do you get rewards? Well, this is why we have a gospel billboard program. This is why we have a free Bible program. This is why we have Bibles behind bars. We give out thousands and tens of thousands and over 116,000 free King James Bibles because that's the type of thing that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. Preaching on the street corner and working to get people saved, that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. Jericho just said winning souls, that will make it through the judgment seat of Christ. But this is why we focus so heavily on our free Bible program and the other outreaches and ministries that we have, because that is how we are all earning rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Look, if you pray for our free Bible program, and you donate to Bibles Behind Bars, there's no material blessing down here that I can give to you other than the gratitude of the people who receive these Bibles. The charismatics want to make you think that if you do something for the Lord, he's going to reward you down here. Now, he'll give you peace, he'll give you grace, and I don't know about you, but when I see people get saved, to me, that is better than any financial reward that I could ever have. And if you remember the article that we did last week about the inmate from the Port St. Lucie jail who got saved, and he got one of our Ruckman Reference Bibles from the Bibles Behind Bars program, he burst into tears. And when he got home, his mother wrote a letter to say thank you. Now, what is that? That's rewards at the judgment seat of Christ for everybody who prays for the Free Bible Program and everybody who donates to the Free Bible Program. It costs an insane amount of money to do these programs. But what you get from these programs is God's word is going out. We are putting it into the hands of people who need to receive it. People are getting saved. And for you and I that are praying and donating, and I try to donate just about every week, what we get is not a material reward down here. We get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ is what we get. So Heath, that is how you get rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. Psalm 69:33, a sister sent this to me earlier. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners. And that's why we have the Bibles Behind Bars program. That's why we have the Free Bible program. And for those of you that are new, we only hand out the King James Bible. Berta, she has a question. Turn to Amos chapter 8. Get Amos 8 in one hand and get Jeremiah chapter 8 in the other hand. Berta Crab has a question, and we're going to take a shot at that question right now. Let me get Amos. Where is Amos? Come on, Amos. Like I said, COVID fog is real. There is no doubt about that. Am I just going? Oh, here it is. Oh, man. My COVID brain. Amos chapter 8. Let's look at verses 1 through 3. Amos chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. Thus hath the Lord God showed unto me, and behold, a basket of summer fruit. And he said, Amos, what seest thou? And I said, a basket of summer fruit. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them any more. And the songs of the temple shall be howlings in that day. That's the day of the Lord. Saith the Lord God, there shall be many dead bodies in every place. They shall cast them forth in silence. Now keep your finger, because we're going to come back here. Keep your finger in Amos chapter 8 and turn to Jeremiah chapter 8. And let's look down in verses 20 through 22. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. The question that Berta has is, what is the basket of summer fruit? I think it refers to the time of Jacob's trouble, and you are right, it does. But Berta's question is, I don't know what it means when it says, the end has come upon my people of Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. Jeremiah chapter 8, verses 20 through 22. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. There's your summer fruits. And we are not saved. Time of Jacob's trouble. For the hurt of the daughter of my people am I hurt. I am black. Astonishment hath taken hold on me. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Now, Berta is stuck on God saying, the end is come upon Israel. I will not pass by them anymore. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Turn to Luke chapter 21. Let's string this all together. Israel was regathered on May 14th of 1948. But that is not the regathering spoken of in the Old Testament. That is not the regathering spoken of by Jeremiah and Isaiah and all the other prophets, Zechariah, that talk about God regathering his people from the four corners of the world. That is not what happened on May 14th, 1948. What happened on May 14th, 1948, God brought the Jewish people back into the land so they could be scattered one more time. And then the biblical prophecy of regathering them from the four corners of the world will be fulfilled. Look in Luke 21, 20 through 24. Luke 21, 20 through 24. Talking about the tribulation. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. God is going to allow Antichrist to destroy Jerusalem. Are you telling me that the holy city is going to be wiped out? Absolutely. It's going to be flattened like a pancake. Verse 21 of Luke 21. Then let them which are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let them which are in the midst of it depart out, and let not them that are in the countries enter therein too. For these be the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon this people. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. There it is. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down until the time of the Gentiles, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And the time of the Gentiles ends in Revelation 19 at the second coming. Now, go back to Amos. Go back to Amos chapter 8. Amos chapter 8, verse 2. Then said the Lord unto me, the end is come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. It is a sobering and awesomely terrifying thought that the time of Jacob's trouble is going to wipe out the nation of Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble is going to flatten Jerusalem. The Antichrist is going, turn to Daniel chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 6. And one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand and his left hand unto heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half, that's 3.5 years. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. Now, there's a lot of Christians who do not understand what is going to happen to the nation of Israel. God is going to give the entire thing over to the devil for 3.5 years. And Luke 21 shows you that it's going to be wiped out. These are the days of vengeance. Turn to Revelation chapter 11. You want to know what Jerusalem becomes during the time of Antichrist? How's this for a sobering thought? Revelation 11:8. And their dead bodies shall lie in the street of the great city, that's Jerusalem, which spiritually is called Sodom in Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. Now, let's answer Berta's question. She says, I am stumped by the verse that says, the end has come upon my people of Israel. I will not again pass by them anymore. God is going to wipe out Israel. God is going to wipe out Jerusalem. God is going to take his holy land and give it to the devil for 7 years. And when Jesus Christ returns with us, the body of Christ, at the second advent, the only thing that is going to be left is a remnant of the Jewish people hiding out in the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. That's all that's going to be left. And when Jesus returns, he is going to set up his kingdom. But it is not going to be based on previous iterations of the nation of Israel. The time of Jacob's trouble is showing you that God is going to so drastically change the nation of Israel that it's never again going to be the same thing. God is never again going to come by the nation of Israel that previously existed. And he is going to set up his kingdom. Turn to Luke chapter 1. Turn to the Gospel of Luke chapter 1. And I'll show you what he's going to do. Luke chapter 1, and look down in verse 30, 31, 32. 32 and 33. Nope. Let's just do Luke 1, 30 through 33. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And this is what he'll do. He shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever and ever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. You tie that in with Isaiah 7:14 and Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. When Jesus returns in Revelation 19, it is not business as usual in the nation of Israel. It's a brand new day, and the entire nation has been wiped out. The vast majority of the Jewish people have been killed because they worshipped Antichrist, and the only part that remains is a remnant hiding out in the Red Rock city of Sela Petra. And so, in the light of that, you understand that that basket of summer fruit, the harvest is over, the summer is ended, and we are not saved. That is talking about the nation of Israel in their game-changing time of Jacob's trouble. And look, we talk about the time of Jacob's trouble probably more than any other ministry on the face of the earth. You might say I'm a little bit obsessed with it. But the reason for that is the immediate thing that happens after the rapture. And I am hoping that some of the 10,000 articles that we've written and some of the thousands and thousands of hours of broadcast that we have done, I hope and I pray, and you pray about this too, that some of what we have done over the last 14 years will make it into the time of Jacob's trouble and will be a blessing to somebody. But even with the incredible emphasis that we have put on this Bible teaching, you really can't do it justice. Think of it like Auschwitz, magnified by a factor of 1,000. I can't even wrap my brain around Auschwitz and Bergen-Belsen and Sachsenhausen and Ravensbrück. Can you imagine 10 times that? Can you imagine 100 times that? Can you imagine 1,000 times that? I can't. But that's why, and let me conclude on this verse. Turn to Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24, verse 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days be shortened, there should no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And I gave you a kind of lengthy answer to that question, and I hope that that answered it for you, and I hope that that was a blessing for you. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Thank you. Please remember everybody on the prayer list. There's so many people struggling, so many people that need help, that these prayers for their health is life-changing. And if you're not on the list, just reach out to Jeanette, and she'll put you on the list, and she sends out the prayer list. And it is so important to pray for all these brothers and sisters and for the lost people who need to get saved. Nothing more important than prayer. And remember, we have extended the sale at the bookstore for another week, and we've added 32 amazing new items, bringing the total to 132 items for sale. And that sale will continue, Lord willing, till February 12th. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being part of the global ministry of Now the End Begins. And we're just so glad to have you here. So glad to be studying the Word together. Lord willing, we'll see you back here tomorrow at noon Eastern time for another Prophecy News podcast. Have a great night, everybody.
Jesus told his disciples of things to come. He would be persecuted, beaten and mauled. The Son of Man would die on the cross, but he wouldn't stay dead, and he won't stay gone. Jesus is coming to take us home, to take us home. By his blood he has bought me,
his blood has bought me,
and his word he has taught me,
his word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead,
he didn't stay dead,
and he won't stay gone,
and he won't stay gone.
Do you believe that tonight? He's coming back.
In the Bible we're told he surely shall come. Like the thief in the night with the trump of God. The King of all kings who paid the cost didn't stay dead.
Stay there.
stay gone.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming to take us home.
To take us home.
By His blood He has bought me.
His blood has bought me.
And His word He has taught me.
His word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And He won't stay gone.
And He won't stay gone.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And He won't stay gone,
won't stay gone.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And He won't stay gone,
and He won't stay gone.
Jesus is coming.
Jesus is coming
to take us home,
to take us home.
By His blood He has bought me.
His blood has bought me.
And His word He has taught me.
His word has taught me.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And He won't stay gone.
And He won't stay gone.
He didn't stay dead.
He didn't stay dead.
And He won't stay gone.
Won't stay gone.